Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the wrestling podcast that is not for sale. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is the chairman of the board, Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are things looking?
Let's not jump the gun here, Andrew. You know, we're always open to, we're going to hear offers, you know, if someone was interested in the podcast.
So you're sweating there a little bit, Tyler.
Well, we have shareholders to appease.
Oh, yeah. Do you think, how many times do you think someone has said that to Vince in the past week, like trying to just like remind him that we
remember the shareholders?
think of the shareholders.
Someone's definitely said it to him. Whether or not he has ever heard it is another.
Well, he is deaf in one ear now, so
yes.
They're just saying it to him on the wrong side. This is going to be a great little, like, this isn't maybe like three or four different emergency episodes wrapped into one. We don't know how long this is going to be, but if you've been under a rock, if you came out of a coma in the past week and you're a wrestling fan, we're going to really bring you up to speed in some stuff that has happened.
Yes.
Clearly we're going to be talking about the biggest news item in wrestling in the past week. And we're going to spend this whole hour, that's right, talking
about... And unfortunately, it's not Wrestle Kingdom. I'm so sorry for you, you indie wrestling fans.
You hotshotted my joke where I was going to be like, the thing we're going to talk about for an hour is Speedball Mike Bailey winning Bola.
Winning Bola,
this year. I mean, we could. We honestly could and should have talked about Mercedes Moné at Wrestle Kingdom and potentially showing up on AEW tonight, which I still think is the most likely thing to happen in that tag match. Okay, let's talk about this for like a second before into the more serious stuff. But like,
she's gonna make the transition from WWE to New Japan to AEW in a week.
Yes, honestly think that's gonna happen. But yeah, there is going to be a women's tag team match tonight on Dynamite that has been plugged for a while now, with Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker taking on Saraya and
a mystery partner
up until last week when she announced that the partner will be Toni Storm and announced that in front of Hikaru Shida, who is not very pleased. What are the chances that her partner is actually one of those two people tonight?
I think that's much more likely. I think it's like, I'd give it like 75%.
Okay, I can take that. I'll take the 25% in thinking that it is going to be Mercedes. I guess like it could be also like we could get Trinity Fatu. You know, like we could get
that's true.
Naomi,
I mean,
or someone
else. It could
be
a lot of different ones. Don't get me wrong. Like if it is Mercedes, I will be elated. But
yeah. I feel bad for if it's not Mercedes and if it's not an already contracted member of the roster. I feel bad for whoever the other surprise person is, because I don't think there's anyone that could top it being
if it's
Mercedes.
If it's any other surprise person who's not exactly, who isn't currently on the roster. Like if it was, like I could see, like if it's a Rio, like the crowd will still love it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like someone from Stardom, maybe just like doing a drop in would work. If it was Paige's mom, not Paige, sorry. If it was Soraya's mom, if it was is she also named Soraya?
I think
Beavis. Yeah, something Knight. I forget what their last name is. I haven't seen Fighting with My Family in a while. So
yeah, I haven't watched in a few years.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see. We'll see who it is tonight. But I will say that if it is Mercedes Moné, or Money, depending on on how we're pronouncing it, that I think there won't be a Mercedes is All Elite graphic.
No, yeah, yeah. I'm not. I don't think she's signing. But hey, man, that working relationship.
Yeah, and she's gonna be in LA soon anyway for the next Stardom US right. mm-hmm. show. So you know, fortuitous. It feels like it should work out.
All right. Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah. So that's the end of us talking about fun things, I feel like, for this episode. So we did an episode in the summer called Vince Retires. Mm-hmm. Who knew?
It was arguably the biggest wrestling news in the past 30 years.
Yeah. And then I don't know if any of this stuff yet has matched that.
Not yet. We need some more concrete information. But it
yeah,
could
last
be.
Night it was it almost. but yeah, so who knew it would only take 6 months for Vince to return to the world of pro wrestling?
I know.
And
God.
A lot has happened in the past 6 or 7 days. So before we get into the nitty gritty, I just want to bring everyone who's listening up to speed on the events that have happened in order. And then we can just discuss as we want. Anything from this list after we do that. Okay.
Alrighty.
So hopping in. This is the timeline of Vince
break
returning.
It down.
So on January 5th, break it down. January 5th, Vince McMahon returns or announces his intentions to return in a executive chairman capacity to WWE. In anticipation of upcoming media rights deals negotiations for WWE. And he says, like, I'm intending to return in a press release that he puts out himself. Says he's intending to return because he thinks it's in the best interest of the company for these upcoming media rights deals for him to be in place.
Vince has really not liked the past few months of TV is what's happening.
maybe I don't know. I think there's a world where he truly believes
he just doesn't like that same Zane.
Well, neither does one of the prospective buyers. I guess we should say that before all this, like, a reminder that the reason that Vince retired is that it seemed like the other shoe was going to drop in a number of increasingly becoming public events where Vince had extramarital affairs with people not limited, like multiple women not limited to people who were working at WWE, and he paid them off in the millions of dollars in like hush money. And it was his own money, but
so not breaking yeah. any laws, but.
Well, but since he's still paid by WWE, it's still like that's something that you are supposed to disclose to the SEC.
Especially being that they're a publicly traded company.
Yes.
And that's something we're going to talk about later.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to sound either really smart or real dumb in this episode. So yeah, Vince says, you know, I'm going to get out before I can be forced out. And now I guess he feels like he could stand up to some unpleasant things coming out. So January 5th, he says, I'm back, baby. January 6th, what a date to decide to do this. he does a corporate coup. And it's just like the season one finale of Succession. And Vince comes into a room and finagles his way into being reinstalled as the chairman of the board. He is reinstalled. George Berrios and Michelle Wilson, who were people that he fired on his way out, returned to the board as well. And I'm sure were the first two people to vote and say that he was going back in as chairman.
Yep.
While Joel Lyons Dillon, Jeffrey Speed, and Alan Wexler were removed from the board. And then the person who was running the internal investigation, who was also on the board, the internal investigation against Vince, also resigned. So it was either like the end of Succession or like the most bonkers tribal council in like Survivor history is kind of what I imagine happened, that it was just some like craziness in a boardroom, people acting like maniacs under the guise of professionalism. But the little tidbit about this January 6th coup is that Vince also writes a new rule into the company bylaws as soon as he is reinstated as chairman that gives him, gives the chairman of the board, sole veto power over any potential sale deal. So this means any media rights deals or any sale of the company to another company, someone else could arrange a deal, and then Vince gets to look at it last minute and can say, no thanks, pal, on the way out.
It's great when you can just show back up and then just start making rando-ass rules.
Yeah, I guess like it's worth pausing right now to answer a question that some listeners might have, which is like, wait, if he retired and like left, how can he just force his way back in to begin with? It's like he may have left, but he still had more.
Still majority shareholder.
Yeah. And it seems, correct me, tell me if you think I'm right about this, Tyler, is that the sense that I'm getting is that people in the company thought like, well, yeah, technically he could storm through the door and just create this chaos and put himself back in. Like, technically he could do that, but people just never thought that he actually would do
it. See, I'm not sure. I think what the public was told about it, whether or not, you know, what they disclosed to us was true, accurate, or whatever, the fact that he had the power to do this the whole time, I think it would be foolish of us to assume or to have thought like, oh no, yeah, Vince McMahon is definitely just gonna walk away and you know, ride off into the sunset and not do anything about it.
Yeah,
I think it was foolish of us or anyone to think that he would do that.
Yeah,
but I think it was clearly, you know, the public doesn't know all the details to this, so it's confusing to an outsider to seem like someone who didn't necessarily even retire, but someone who was almost forcefully removed from the company can just show up one day and take all the power back. I think that's the real jarring part.
Yeah, it's frightening and confusing. And maybe the other board members, you know, maybe they knew who Vince was and like Vince could do this, but thought that the reason he would not do it is that then you just bring all of the sexual misconduct and potential more things could pop up. And they say as much, like in between the 5th and the 6th, there is a response allegedly from board members to Vince being like, hey, we advise you not to rejoin the board.
Please don't.
Because like, who, and I think there is a very like veiled, not very veiled threat in there of like, more things could come out if you do this. But that wasn't enough of a threat, I guess.
Nope.
We're going to jump all the way to January 10th. I guess I should say like noteworthy enough that like on SmackDown after announcing this, like he doesn't show up, which is a thing I thought was going to happen. January 10th, yesterday in the afternoon, Stephanie McMahon resigns as co-CEO of WWE.
Second time she's done that this year.
Yeah, second time.
in a year, at least.
Mm-hmm. The first time it was, she was saying that she wanted to spend more time with her family. I don't know if that is the reason she did it this time, but we will ask ourselves that question in a moment. Then, last night, all chaos breaks through on the night of January 10th, pretty late. Because news breaks online through various wrestling media types, starting with Cassidy Haynes, Sean Ross Sapp said a bunch, and then Steven Muehlhausen of DAZN, all were people early reporting that WWE was being sold to the Saudi Public Investment Fund, with Vince slated to return to his role as head of creative. Some of these reports were like, hey, reports saying it looks like this deal is going to happen. It may have even already happened. Steven Muehlhausen was the one who was like, no, WWE has sold. Vince is being like he was very definitive about this is done. And then also definitive was r/squared circle insider Kermit, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a guy who has a Kermit the Frog username.
I heard, see, Sarah actually spends more time on Squared Circle than I do.
Yeah.
So she was telling me that she was like, and like Kermit confirmed it. And I was like, what?
You're like, who the hell is Kermit?
She was like, he's this, like basically this Redditor on Squared Circle who has a incredible history of accurate scoops and things like that. So
yeah,
him posting it actually carries some weight of like, oh, this is probably really happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he posted just quote WWE has been sold, end quote. Kermit has been right on a lot of things, and he probably is a mid to low level WWE employee, but
something like that. Yeah,
should say that most of the things he has posted, actually everything he's posted except for this, has been more in the, along the lines of like, John Cena's showing up tonight. Like, it's mostly like story or presentation related stuff and not like about business sales. but that was enough for a lot of people to be like, oh, this has happened. Jimmy Van, the owner of Fightful last night, was the like lone voice of reason who questioned this news and said, quote,
the lone voice of
reason. He said, WWE has just announced that JP Morgan was repping them to help them with the sale. And usually the sales process takes months before shareholder approval can happen. And it's funny, like I listened to the Masked Man podcast last week, and former WWE writer Kaz was on there being like, well, what is, he was positing like, well, what if like the sale happens like really quickly and like the company is owned by someone else in 4 months? So like that is a really fast sale.
Four months is quick.
Yeah. So like a week certainly, would be the quickest ever.
Impossible, you might say.
Yeah. So then cooler heads prevailed this morning, January 11th, when CNBC, TMZ, Ariel Helwani, they all report that this is a rumor and that the company has not been sold. And CNBC goes as far to be like, the prospect of a sale was never true to begin with. So then why would this rumor be put out there? Well, because also on the morning of January 11th, the WWE stock soared to really high highs off of the rumors of a sale. And this is what is called pumping and dumping, where you leak fake news to make people think a sale is imminent, or to do something to very quickly affect your stock price.
Exactly, yeah.
So that then you can either sell a bunch of shares and make money, or to like make yourself seem like a more valuable asset right before selling to someone.
And I don't know anything about the stock market, but that sounds pretty illegal to me, but I probably isn't.
It's highly illegal.
Okay, cool.
It is not a thing you can admit to doing in person, but it is like, again, like a
sounds
thing.
Like it should be, right?
Yeah, pump and dump is definitely a phrase that people throw around on Succession a lot. Again, I will say, everything I know about business I've learned from this show in the
past year. I think that Vince McMahon also, maybe.
Yeah, he's just been watching it. And
either
like,
Vince McMahon is a massive fan of Succession, or Succession is basing their entire show off the WWE.
Well, someone at WWE is a big fan of Succession because the Bloodline storyline has had a lot of parallels to parallels to it, and a lot of the characters have very similar ways that they're behaving. Like Roman definitely is like Logan Roy, and Sami Zayn definitely is the Tom Wamsgams of the Bloodline. And it is not a coincidence, someone pointed this out to me recently and it blew my mind, that Roman's new Bloodline theme music is like note for note almost exactly the same as the Succession theme, just
oh my
up.
God.
Yeah, I'll send you I'll send you a comparison later.
Okay.
So yeah, everyone is watching it on all sides and just coming in being like, oh, I have the idea of how to win. So the last big news today, Fightful Select says, quote, no sale has taken place as of today. They have heard that Vince has discussed a sale, but one doesn't seem imminent. talent today shot down some rumors and are resistant to the idea of Vince returning to creative, claiming walkouts and pushback would occur if it did happen. Wrestlers were not told of a sale, nor have they been given any answers about anything that's happened in the last 2 days beyond what is publicly known. And then for one last little thing that happened before we started recording is that now the first lawsuit has been filed against Vince since he returned. It's been filed in Delaware court. It was brought in response to Vince forcing his way onto the board / replacing members / threatening to block a TV deal with that new bylaw. And this is a class action suit being brought by shareholders of the company. So that brings us to now.
All right. So are we getting Vince McMahon versus Triple H at WrestleMania for the fate of the company?
Do
you think they can do that in April, or is that going to be next April?
Well, I mean, like, is there... Okay, let's start with this. Let's start with putting ourselves in the mind of Vince McMahon, right?
Why? Not a good place to be.
Why are we doing the things that we've done in the past week? Like, okay. Do you think it's related more to the product? Do you think it's related more to business? We can run down, like, what are the possible scenarios,
right,
for the character of Vince McMahon and what he's doing?
I mean, it's clearly, it's 100% like a multiple of many reasons. Truly, I think the biggest one that I just keep coming back to, and it's so wild because it's such like a petty thing, like, Vince McMahon strikes me as such a, like, narcissistic, like, boomer mentality of, like, I created this thing with my bare hands. I did this. This is my creation. And I'm going to profit on this. Basically, like, I could see it's something along the lines of that, something along the lines of him hating his children so much and that he finds, like, you know, I created this billion-dollar company. Where's your billion-dollar company that you created? You don't get to have mine, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he would rather sell this company than give it to someone who didn't earn it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny that little promo you just went on about, like...
a little bit.
About, like, creating it in his own hands. Like, I thought you were non-ironically... going into the Vince promo of, like, I'm gonna inject a little poison. I'm gonna put, because, like, this happened, like, in storyline, yeah, after the Alliance era ended, they had a thing where, like, suddenly Ric Flair, and I think it was just Ric Flair at this point, became co-owner, and Vince, rather than co-running a company with someone as a character, decided instead that he would inject the WWE with the poison that is the NWO and let them destroy the WWE from inside. So, like, maybe it's some art imitating life.
100% there.
But, like, yeah, like, do we think that he... I've heard that, too, of people being like, okay, he left unceremoniously. And then critical reception of the company went up really high almost instantly. A bunch of people that he fired were immediately hired back. And the ratings have been steady or better.
Right.
Since. So, like, I guess that posits that, like, that Vince retires and then still spends all of his time watching WWE programming. And then is just, like, so hurt that
it's doing well
without him.
Yeah, and that, I guess that makes sense, because then it's, like, it's a pride thing of, like, he was forced out, and then while he's gone, the thing is doing better than ever. I could see a prideful thing of him, you know, wanting to push back against that. I don't know. It's just, like, unfortunately, I don't think there's no, like, logical answer for why he's doing this, because he's clearly not a logical person.
Well, like I guess, like, the logical answer is the least nefarious, but is one that I think we don't buy into because of a perception of who Vince mm-hmm. is as a human being. And it's that, like, the media rights are coming up. Media rights for live sports might be going down this year when they've actually mm-hmm. been going up and up and up for like a decade. And someone told him, like, hey,
now's a good time to get out.
Or, like, now, like you will sell better. You'll either sell to someone or get better media rights if your name is on it. And he right. truly believes that, truly has no intentions of changing the creative, and is just coming in to be like, my baby is only going to be sold to its best potential if I'm the one doing it.
Perhaps.
Maybe that's all he's doing. Maybe he is just really bored. And, like, maybe I've seen people, like, the other end of that is the, like, I am so petulant at someone else being able to do this thing. Like, I thought that when I left that they'd all be like, oh, man, I wish we had Vince back.
Right.
And because right. it's different, he is like, I don't care if I tank the company.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. And the move last night, I think, would have been a way of saying I'm tanking the company,
right?
Like, what was your initial reaction to hearing the Saudi news? And then, like, what was your reaction when you woke up this morning and realized that the sale was not likely
I mean,
to go through?
Again, like, I have learned, like, we both have for many years now, that to take most wrestling news, if not all wrestling news, with a grain of salt.
Unless it's from
until
Kermit.
until you see it happen, like, it's you can't be 100% on that. So, I mean, even just hearing it last night, it was shocking, a little jarring. And, like, you know, you play with the idea and you kind of, you know, conceptualize it in your head and, like, see what the actual, what this could actually look like in the future and, like, what the repercussions might be. And, like, you and I were texting about it last night, like, a worst case scenario, like, this could yeah. be the death of yeah. WWE as a whole. And yeah. like, that's
and of pro wrestling, like, it, like, our the whole
truly,
reason
I mean,
for the show could have been dead within like a year.
It's wild to think, like, that's never something that I even thought could happen yeah. in my entire, like, 30 plus years of life. I've never even thought of, like, WWE not existing.
Yeah.
But it's something you have to actually consider, like, in this situation. Like, it could be a horrible domino effect of just one bad decision starting this chain reaction of, like, oh, and then they sell to Saudi, it's a Saudi owned company, they lose a TV deal, they lose a merchandising deal, they lose this, they have to shut down this, like, it's who knows.
Yeah, well, I'll answer this question, then I think we should actually, like, really go domino to domino
mm-hmm.
and, like, try to explain why we were so
sure
hyperbolic. I mean, I was literally, like, I was so sad last
yeah.
night. Chelsea kept yeah. leaning over and being like, do you need a hug? Like, are you okay?
And you were like, I'm okay.
And I was like, yeah, I was frustrated and I was sad at, like, yeah. a thing that we are passionate about being.
Look, I'm just saying, man, if WWE goes under, if WrestleMania stops existing before you and I get to go to one, I'm going to be so pissed. Like, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, it's like, and, like, Chelsea made a good point last night too, and I was like, this could, like, seriously end WWE. That she's like, well, good thing that there are other places now that people can wrestle as opposed to a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I was in a bad mood, and I was like, yeah, but to so many people, saying, oh, you watch pro wrestling is the same as saying, oh, you watch WWE. And, like, mm-hmm. for them to just evaporate in a really short period of time, I don't think that necessarily it'd be like, okay, and then AEW would rise by, would fill 80% of their void, and Impact
right.
would fill 5%, and New Japan would fill this much. I think there would be a lot of it that's just lost.
I mean, it would be chaos, truly, because, I mean, take the size of WWE's roster, like, AEW can't take all those people.
No.
Not even
yeah.
Impact or New Japan could take all those people, so a lot of people are out of jobs. But even still, I mean, AEW would in the immediate probably do excellent. They would probably gain most of WWE's viewers who don't have anything to watch anymore. Yeah. Like most of them will probably tune into AEW. It'd be great news for them, but
there'd be a lot of new wrestlers on the Ring of Honor roster.
Oh yeah. Tony Khan would have to really speed up getting those TV rights figured out for Ring of Honor.
Yeah. But then how did you feel this? Like you knew not to take this with a grain of salt.
Exactly. You know, having not seen, like immediately upon waking up, I didn't see any other, you know, confirmation, anyone being like, this is definitely happening. Here's proof. And that kind of eases the tension of like, oh, okay. Well, this could just be another, you know, garbage train thing.
A nothing burger.
Exactly. So like, I'm not 100% saying that there's no like, you know, validity to it, but you just got to wait and see.
Yeah.
If like we were saying, if Vince McMahon just like shows up on SmackDown on Friday, like just comes out and like no matter what he says, if he just shows up, then I think actually I'm gonna take that as a very bad sign.
Yeah, that's a nuclear option at this point. I feel
that's
like
that's a very bad sign.
Then let's walk through the darkest timeline that we may have narrowly avoided.
Yeah, last night.
Let's do some domino effects.
Let's do some doom scrolling.
So let's say the Saudi Public Investment Fund is now the sole owner of the WWE. I imagine the first thing that happens is that they announce Vince as like head of creative or head of a lot of things.
Potentially. So, I mean, that Saudi does love Vince. They're the first ones who, you know, had this whole working relationship brought to each other. That's certainly a possibility. I could see them reinstating Vince before they keep Triple H, basically.
Yeah. And I feel like they're, and this is what I thought too, because I think like you and I have always had kind of we were befuddled at how this relationship between WWE and the Saudis, like, started. Being like, I don't know why this is happening beyond just like big
money.
And it would make sense to me if this whole time there was a deal that like in 10 years like we're gonna buy and that now they're asking for that bill to be paid by paying it, I guess. I don't know, that wasn't a great metaphor. Okay, so like Vince probably is back in some kind of official capacity that would undo a lot of the creative, right? So there probably would be negative press immediately. I feel like the first people to stop having a partnership with WWE would be ESPN, would be my guess.
Probably. How big of a partnership do they have with them currently, though?
They do have like a tab on the website that is about WWE news, and it's not really about wrestling news. It's about WWE. Triple H announced his retirement and like everything about his heart situation WWE, like, are on ESPN. Like they do show up there, and they're treated pretty well.
Complete side question: do you know? Because I know we both don't watch them. Do they stream the Saudi shows on Peacock?
Yeah, they do.
They do. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, they're in
there. I was going to wonder, like, if they don't stream those shows for whatever reason, like, that could actually be a huge issue for NBC. Yeah.
Well, that leads into the next kind of big issue. And then here's why I think ESPN would be the first out, even though they're not the most in of the major companies, is that ESPN has been really negative about the LIV golf tour, the Saudi-owned golf tour, which even though they have now like a bunch of top 50 golfers in the world and some of the biggest names in golf, they still don't, their tournaments are not televised in a conventional sense. Like they can't get a media deal. So if they can't get a media deal, then suddenly you have to imagine that NBC is not going. NBC was one of, and Comcast, who's one of the potential most named people to buy the company, would probably be out This is like jumping the gun a bit, but like, I guess like I guess maybe you could get media deals with Fox and like, that's it.
But I don't even know if Fox would do it. I was going to say Fox would be like the only one.
Yeah. Yeah. But then like, how many show, do you think that there'd be like half the shows annually would be physically in Saudi Arabia then?
Potentially.
Fox did also have the Qatar World Cup, I should say, too. Yeah. So
I think we're going to see a lot of the big pay-per-views are primarily going to be happening in Saudi Arabia. I don't know about WrestleMania. Certainly not this coming up one because they've already sold tickets and everything. But I mean, like, you know, there's no reason they can't change the location of next year's WrestleMania or a year or 2 years from now.
Let's hope not for Saudi Arabia. but you bring up a great point there too. Then in the immediate of this WrestleMania, I mean, one of the things I found most interesting about all those tidbits that we shared at the top of the show was Fightful saying that there would be pushback and walkouts. If Saudi buys WWE, this WrestleMania, 0% chance of The Rock showing up.
Ooh, look, your boy Dwayne is already having some real tough times in the media as of late. So,
did I miss something with Dwayne?
Oh yeah, it's all to do with the DC issues
with Black Adam
and Black Adam and all the stuff going on there. I don't like, he's not like canceled or anything, but like, just Dwayne is not in the fondest of public lights right now. So if in the event they do sell this, I can 100% see him being like, no thanks, I can't afford anymore.
Yeah, I don't need bad press.
I can't afford any more negative press at the moment.
I will say, this is funny, I just googled The Rock as you said that. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to see if there was like news about him.
Yeah,
and I think, sorry if I'm like breaking this to you, that famed classic rock guitarist Jeff Beck just died 2 hours ago.
Was
he nicknamed The Rock?
I don't know.
I don't know, because I'm like that is the three like I news things Jeff when Beck, I Google The Rock, and I'm like, why is that the thing that's coming up for me? But that's okay. So are there other people that you think would immediately be like, I'm gonna sit home?
Probably Sammy.
Yeah.
Probably KO, which is unfortunate because both of them are playing such a massive role in the most important storyline. I was texting last night about it. In the event that Vince doesn't take over and change the creative plans for WrestleMania, and like Triple H gets to at least see those plans through.
Yeah.
I would wish and I would hope that Sammy would stick it out to finish the storyline, just because, like, I mean, look, there's no guarantee that, like, you know, Sammy is going to get the main event at Mania and be the one to take the belts off Roman or anything. Yeah. But in the event that was the plan, if we could just see that and then win the belts and the next day you can quit, drop them, do whatever you got to do. But look, I respect him. If he immediately is like, nope, I can't be a part of this.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's also a fool's errand to believe that all of your favorite pro wrestlers are like intuned into geopolitics and social engagement, because
there's a lot of them
will disappoint you
who either don't know or just don't care.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, like, I actually would not be shocked if Roman walked out.
Really?
Roman's
wrestled
that.
In Saudi, right?
He has, but there's a difference between wrestling there and then being permanently. Like, I really think that part of the thing that people can stomach going over there is that there is like a fixed deal.
Exactly.
It's like this 10 like years.
A one-time thing per year. Like,
yeah.
Perhaps.
And the payment probably makes that a little bit easier to tolerate. But
Obviously, the other, most of the women's superstars.
All the women except for Lacey Evans would leave.
Having a huge issue with this. Just because, I mean, I don't know what that, what does that mean for the women's division?
A lot of long sleeves, but like, the thing is that like every time there's been a women's match on those pay-per-views, and I don't think there was one on the first one, and then there was one.
Was not one on the first one. I don't remember who. I think the first women's match in Saudi, I want to say it was like Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks or something like that.
Yeah.
But as we have seen with every other match, it's like, you know, the full body suit and all this other stuff.
But then, like, I was going to say that the participants in those matches then always talk about, like, with great pride of, like, I am proud that I was a woman in this match here, and, like, we are doing tangible good by doing this. And I think maybe you would see a complete 180 on that, and it would be like, oh, okay, they were feeding a company line.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So they would lose some wrestlers immediately. Yeah. They would lose some big names potentially coming back right at WrestleMania season. And they, a lot of potential places that they could air their product would go away.
Yeah.
So they would either have no home for their weekly television, or it would all be on Fox, I think. Yeah. And then, like, that's probably the best case scenario for them, but who knows? Maybe you lose a big chunk of your audience who then are like, I don't want to be involved with this, because the LIV Golf Tour has all these big golfers and is not, you know,
there's
doesn't
still,
have
people
the,
aren't still
the viewership.
Watching,
well, they can't watch, literally.
Well,
like,
yeah.
It's so hard
they don't
to
have
find,
a way to
but, like,
watch.
But yeah, it's not doing the thing, and wrestling's certainly a different beast than golf. But
yeah.
Do you think that people would like be like, okay, this is it. I'm done watching.
I think some people would. I don't think truly. I don't think the amount of people who watch WWE who would leave purely on principle of this. I don't think that's a substantial enough number to sway Vince's decision here.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the broader picture in terms of actual like tangible revenue sources, like, if they're gonna lose a TV deal because of this, that you can see the exact amount of money you're losing. If they're gonna lose a merchandising deal with a toy company because that toy company doesn't want to be associated with this, you can see the exact numbers. Like, those are gonna be the tangible items that would be able to potentially sway this sale going through. But I don't know how they're going to gauge that or whether or not they care.
We were talking about the role of women in a Saudi owned WWE. Stephanie McMahon resigned yesterday, just a few hours before this rumor broke out there. There are a lot of reasons that Stephanie could have resigned.
Sure.
What are they, and what do you think the most likely reason is?
I mean, number one is because Vince strong-armed his way back into the company, and, you know, whatever she was promised has been taken away, I'm sure. But,
so,
I mean...
So that, to you, that is the more likely than like, hey, I wanted to step away last year.
100%. I don't.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think there's.
You don't think she was telling the truth then?
No. I don't think there's any truth to that. No, not at all. I think she had huge plans for WWE going forward, and she wanted to be extremely involved in all of them. And now she can't. So, look, if anything, she's smart in just saying like, look, I'm not gonna stay here and either go down with this sinking ship with you, or stay here and, you know, embarrass myself by trying to plead with you to do something smarter. So she's just going to wash her hands and walk away. And that's fine. Truly, what to me was the most telling of anything was in her resignation letter. And I have the quote right here.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing I've ever heard. Our founder, Vince McMahon, has returned as executive chair and is leading an exciting process regarding strategic alternatives. And that is the most corporate,
exciting
synergy bullshit answer yeah. I've ever heard. And I was like, oh, she's so pissed.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, well, good for her then getting out.
I mean,
out
hey, good for her.
The getting out is that this is the time to get off the sinking ship. But it's interesting that it people don't seem to think that in the world where Vince is just trying to get this sold and doesn't want to return to creative, it seems like Triple H isn't going anywhere then.
I think, again, like the equivalent to that is I think Triple H is holding on to like the thread in the hopes that he gets to stay there. But like, yeah. I don't know. It's like, cause he still has control right now. Triple H still has the creative control. And until someone definitively takes it from him, I think he's just going to sit there and wait it out.
Yeah. If it does get taken from him, there was another thing where people were asking Sean Ross Sapp last night, a bunch of questions. And they were like, if Vince pushes Triple H out, will Triple H be done with wrestling? And Sean Ross Sapp's response was just no. So
all right,
what do you think is more likely, Triple H Hunter Hearst Helmsley being All Elite or Triple H and Stephanie starting their own rival promotion?
See,
being just like the Alliance again.
I'm going to say neither.
Okay.
So I think of those two, it's far more likely they go to AEW just because AEW has the money right now and has something established and they're not completely starting from scratch. I think had they the idea to just start from scratch, I think that's a very poor decision.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, look,
it could make them very poor. It's a lot of money.
Sure.
That I don't know that they have.
It's takes a lot of money. And like, maybe they get lucky and like a lot of, you know, Triple H loyalists in the WWE will leave and then come to them to work for a fraction of what they're getting paid at WWE.
And AEW too.
And AEW. So like, maybe they get lucky with some of those, but I just think that would be a horrible idea. Weirdly, it's now, hear me out. I think it's far more likely that they go to somewhere else. Like this is going to be the craziest thing I've ever said on this podcast, but like maybe they go to Impact.
Yeah.
And they're like, this isn't AEW. It's not WWE's direct competition, but it's an established company that has some sort of framework here.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're here to help. Maybe that's an idea.
Well, I know that Stephanie was hanging around GCW a bunch last summer, which was like, what a weird marriage. How much do you think Triple H and Stephanie would have to offer Billy Corgan for the NWA? Because he could come in, get rid of Tyrus and a number of other things, and just
100%.
Just make NWA into NXT.
I mean, they would just like either put the belt on Triple H or like make him briefly the NWA heavyweight champion.
Yeah. I feel like that aesthetically works with what Triple H is, like, old school
right
mentality.
Honestly, I do. I love that idea. I think it would be really good.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how they would finagle that working relationship with Billy Corgan, but like,
oh, I think he'd be gone. Like, I think they'd be buying to tell him to leave. Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully it doesn't come to this, because I very much like Triple H where he is.
Exactly.
Right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if the Saudi deal has not happened, as some people were reporting, some people were saying it's a rumor. I think they're still, I'm not willing to say they're definitely out of the running yet, because we know they're going to offer more money than anyone else
exactly
possibly can. Who Okay, what do you think is more likely, WWE being sold in 2023 or them just doing more media rights? And follow up, what do you think, who are the buyers in this world?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go out on a wild limb here just because, yeah, like, I have, I don't know. Again, I preface this by saying you can't take any of these things as, like, 100%.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Something.
You have
about,
no insider info here. You're exactly. You're just guessing, yeah.
I'm just guessing. Something about this, like, my bad feeling bone is tingling right now, and I think they're selling. I think, yeah, WWE will be sold this year. In terms of buyers, your only options are Saudi, Comcast, if they're lucky, Disney.
I think Fox is a possibility.
I guess Fox too. As well, yeah. But yeah. I think I could see Disney wanting to distance themselves from this, especially just after, you know, Vince McMahon's,
yeah,
sexual misconduct allegations, their working relationship with the Saudi government. I could see Disney being like, weird, no thank you.
Yeah.
In which case you got Comcast, Fox, and Saudis.
I wonder if Disney was more in the running before Vince came back. And like,
oh, I bet they, yeah, were, yeah.
And I know one that I had heard floated, which is definitely the smallest of all of these, but still not small, is Endeavor was, mm-hmm, there, who are the people who own UFC. And,
oh, okay.
They're,
okay,
run by Ari Emanuel, who is like who Ari Gold, Jeremy Piven's character in Entourage is based on. So,
okay,
like,
okay,
it would have been that kind of big alpha energy behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that they were pretty interested in buying, but I think, you know, Dana White has had his own issues in the past,
right, right,
2 weeks that maybe that cooled him off. Hmm. So you're saying, so Comcast,
or Saudis, Fox. Of those three, I would put Comcast on the bottom.
Not most likely.
Not to say that Comcast is a you know, great moral company either, but
yeah.
I think it's gonna be the Saudis, honestly.
Oh,
I really,
man,
do, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's bad that I'm like, please go to Fox instead.
I know, right? Yeah. At least if it goes to Fox, you're not almost guaranteed to lose deals out of, like, you know, weird xenophobic principle. Because,
yeah,
I mean, That's what I can see the most, is so many people, fans, watchers, shareholders, you know, anyone who works with them, of being like, oh, well, this is a Saudi company now.
Yeah. I guess, like, I'm trying to think of, like, what if Fox owned it, you would have SmackDown or Raw on Fox proper, one of the others on FX, maybe, or maybe NXT on FX.
Maybe they just do both on Fox?
Yeah. Because I'm just trying to think of how many other networks they own. Because I feel like the biggest appeal of Comcast is that they have so many networks under their,
right,
umbrella.
Right,
that
they'll, right,
always have a place for the shows to go.
Yeah. Well, then I guess they would, if they do sell to Fox, like, you immediately are going to drop them from the Peacock app.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know how that works. I do not know, like, if someone else owns the company, but there's probably a time limit deal in place.
Some sort of contract that, like, yeah, you get to stick it out till this date, and then at that point we're not renewing you or something.
Yeah, because it's like The Office was still on,
right,
on whatever streamer it was on. I think
it was on Netflix.
It was on Netflix, and then,
yeah,
like, a few years into Peacock being up, they're like, okay, we're bringing it back. But, like,
yeah,
that is going to be a nightmare,
mm-hmm,
to move that entire library over at once to, like,
well, does,
what's Fox,
I mean, does,
like,
Fox
Nation?
Does Fox have a streaming app?
I mean, FX shows are on Hulu.
Right.
As, like,
yeah,
a streamer. So I guess, mm-hmm, like, Hulu, that would be a real boon for them, for,
sure,
like, Fox to buy the company and be like, we're putting the WWE library on Hulu.
Yeah.
But the other, yeah, the other, they, Fox has a, there's like a Fox News app that's like Fox Nation, and that's the only other,
yeah,
one that I think that they have. So.
Oh man, how? What?
It could go there.
What kind of gross timeline are we living in that in order to watch WWE, you have to stream it from the Fox News app?
I like, mean, it's better than streaming it at like 3 a.m. and on a Saudi stream.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like I got one more like fun question for us to think about.
okay.
I mean, this WrestleMania is going to be really interesting because this is going to be hanging over
it in general.
Like, is this Vince trying to? Because I was excited to be like, this is going to be the first WrestleMania without Vince.
Without and, Vince, like, but seeing... over his dead body. That's not. That'll never happen.
All right, you heard it here first. The main event of WrestleMania this year will be Vince McMahon versus Triple H in a buried alive match.
Probably, honestly. Truly, what I'm interested in, at least in the next, like, you know, 4 months of television, is just. Will we be able to pinpoint the exact moment where we were where you can tell be like, and Vince has control back, like what
so.
Creative decision is going to happen on television that everyone is going to be aware, just be like, yep, Vince has it.
when Finn Balor comes out a week and he's like, you know, I'm the prince, and now he's just dressed as Prince.
And she's dressed as Fritz. Yep. That's
we'll know Fritz. That's
100%.
That's it. The last kind of silly question here is I've seen a lot of people comparing Vince to Emperor Palpatine from the Star Wars universe. Is that the most accurate evil villain comp for Vince? Like what evil nefarious character is Vince most like? Because if this Sony deal went through, he would go from, despite all of his very public transgressions, it would be like, well, Vince McMahon and the McMahon family are the people who like created and nurtured and did wrestling. And then overnight it would be like, he killed it.
I mean, that's a pretty good one, but truly from what we've talked about, I think it might be Logan Roy, right?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know if he's a villain in that show, but
no one is a hero in that show. Everyone sucks. But Logan is definitely a real crotchety piece of shit. Logan Roy is a big one, but like I feel like he's not mustache twirling enough to be Vince. And Emperor Palpatine, you know, keeps coming back even when
he's
counted out and dead multiple times. I never saw the final new Star
Rise
Wars
Skywalker
movie. No, I didn't see it.
It's not great.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it better or worse than Solo, which I thought was like the worst Star Wars movie
I've
ever seen?
So here's the thing. I don't know how to compare the two because Rise of Skywalker, because it is like a numbered entry in the series, like it has so much more weight to it and you expect so much more from it and it doesn't deliver. Where Solo, like those one-off films, like they got lucky with Rogue One because Rogue One is an great film. Rogue One
and
is incredible.
Andor too is
and Andor is
so
also
good,
amazing.
Yeah.
So those one-off films, I don't hold to the same standard. So I wasn't that like I wasn't scrutinizing Solo as hard when I watched it. I thought it was fine. I thought it was it was a fun little movie for what it was. It was okay.
All right.
But yeah, Rise of Skywalker is not great.
I legitimately in the theater when I saw it. Solo like looked around with the people I was with and very loudly said, "What are we doing here?" I was not having a good time at that movie.
What are we doing here, guys? Like, what is this?
I was so confused.
That's fair.
Emperor Palpatine. I'm thinking of like Disney villains now. Like, is he Cruella De Vil or like?
Is he Jafar?
Jafar is a good one for him because there is like a real balance of like power thing.
Yeah.
And him like, oh yeah, yeah.
He is okay. He's Captain Hook.
Mm-hmm.
The
Dustin Hoffman one or the.
He's Captain Hook. The misconduct allegations were his crocodile chasing him, but he has escaped. And
the ticking clock. Yeah.
Does that make Triple H his Peter Pan?
I think so. I think, and is Stephanie Wendy or
Stephanie's probably Wendy, I guess. Yeah, yeah.
Who's Tinkerbell in this?
Who is Tink? Tink has got to be fucking Sami Zayn, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think, yeah, who are the other, like, is there a notable, is he Rufio?
Rufio's Finn Balor, that's all I'm saying.
Well, I don't think we're going to top this. This is the best way to finish this question. I feel like we've explored the unease at the moment right now.
Right.
We got the Royal Rumble in 2 weeks.
Yep.
We will be back talking about that. And then
I think that is also going to be a huge, point, yeah, to see where we're at going forward. So what happens in the Rumble?
Good creative thermometer, especially right after last year's debacle.
Right.
So yeah, looking forward to that. I got nothing in terms of plugs for right now. You got anything you want to say, Tyler?
Can't say I do.
Great. Then, as always, we're going to leave you with the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
He's leading an exciting process regarding strategic alternatives.
Synergy.